activity. He actually has like the old cop fedora on, and he's nice. Chomping a cigar, and he's overweight with a mustache. You're like, is this a real show? And it's filmed for real. It's not done jokingly.
Oh.
And I turned to Lisa, like, who the fuck watches this? And it was like season 5. But, no, but even like what I was getting at is these paranormal shows.
Yeah.
They always circle something or highlight something and go, look here. It's like, well, if you hadn't shown me, I would have never looked there. So it's a psychological aspect of it, but I still like watching them for the imagination of it. Like, oh, which is the same thing with Ancient Aliens. So
yeah, I kind of go, okay, I understand your argument, but yeah, I'm still going with the, it seems a little too suspicious to me that they just decided to stop being involved in humans for, you know, like when we started to have real recorded history.
Yeah. As soon as we're not writing with whatever.
We're not chiseling it into stone anymore. When we're finally not chiseling it into stone anymore, they stop rolling our way. I'm like, yeah, is it possible? Sure. Do I think aliens are out there? Yeah, like that would be really weird if the galaxy was this fucking large and there wasn't any other life form in
just
any
our galaxy.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, there's got to be life out there somewhere, but man, travel that far is batshit nuts, according to pretty much everyone. So yeah, I'm not surprised that there haven't really been. Yeah, I believe in aliens, but I'm not sure that there's been contact. And I do really, yeah, I've got to lean towards that. If there was contact, they probably have the ability to wipe us out. If it is their choosing.
Yeah, I mean, if these aliens were like, never mind, and just took off. If they're going to come back, they're like, oh, look what they think they're going to do to us. And it's like, I always know, we all watch the same movies, but it's like, it's not going to be the technology. Like, they open up a big laser over the Empire State Building. It's going to be something far more sophisticated than that.
Oh.
It's like, just like boring, sort of.
And they're not going to telegraph it like any good alien in a movie. You know, that's just like, hey, by the way, we're just giving you a heads up. I'm just, what was that? Oh, Battleship is what immediately came to mind, of course. Where they, like, threw down home bases before even invading anything. And locking off Hawaii.
You know how much of that movie I don't remember? Almost all of it. You said Hawaii. I was like, oh, that's right, because don't they use an old Pearl Harbor ship or something?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember if it's from World War II and from Pearl Harbor, but it is like an old naval ship that's on the base to finally win the battle, because it's not, it's all not man-powered, but, you know, they can't, it doesn't run on electronics, so they can use it to help defeat the aliens. Like, it is, that movie was one where I'm like, when we went to go see that, I was howling, because I'm like, this is awful. Like, it was one of those so awful it's hilarious movies. And then when one of the wife's friends is like, no, this is legitimately one of my favorite movies. And I'm just like, you can't really be serious about this. Like, that movie, what's his name? Liam Neeson. Phoning it in would be generous to say that's what he did for that movie.
Look at what his career has become. Anyways, he makes every goofy ass movie as it is.
Oh, so, well, yeah, I love that he's part of the 60-year-old badass revolution.
Wait, what was that?
The 60-year-old badass revolution.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Denzel, not Not that because I don't think I've seen any of those movies. Like, I haven't seen a Taken.
Taken, the first one's good, dude. It is a no-nonsense action movie. Like, you know, like in most movies, he go like someone will be like, "You got to the count of three, and I'm gonna shoot your wife in the leg." And the guy's like, "I don't know." He goes one. He gets to three. Guy doesn't tell. Boom. Shoots her in the leg. And I was like, and you're like, whoa, what? Like, it is. He's the good guy, you know?
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll take the time out to watch that sometime. But yeah, I haven't seen any of those because I mean he's done those, and like I feel like he's done a couple other like action movies recently, and I'm just like, man, turn this guy into Qui-Gon Jinn, and all of a sudden he's ready to go.
God damn, I always forget he was in that first Star Wars movie. And his voice appears in the last one, but I've tried to not remember those. So, oh, well, what did you think of the last episode of Mandalorian, by the way? Welcome to Before Christmas.
Yeah, well, we finally got around to getting the Disney Plus. Of course, the funny thing was it was also our free Disney Plus from Verizon for changing our plan too. Yeah. And it took us like months to get around to. So yeah, it's I guess it's nice to be caught up with the cool kids that have already watched The Mandalorian a long time ago at this point. I'll tell you what, if The Mandalorian hadn't taken off his helmet the episode before that, I would have been more than just misting up. Maybe I was fully warned enough that I didn't go into tier mode at the end. So yeah, it was either I think the him taking off his, like, I understand why they put him in that situation, I guess, and why he did it. Or at least somewhat. And but yeah, that moment with him and Grogu at the end of the episode, that was some really touching stuff. I've got to admit, it did definitely touch the heartstrings a little bit.
Yeah, and with a puppet and a guy in a metal suit, like, what a weird world.
yeah, it did kind of cause me a little bit of confusion though, and I'm gonna assume that I'm probably not the only one that's a little bit confused by the timeline.
Okay,
because am I missing something? Didn't Luke kill Boba Fett?
Yes, they. He came back because he just did. They never explained how he got out of the Sarlacc pit.
Okay, that's. I guess maybe that's the part of the equation that I'm missing out on.
Mm-hmm. I think this is 5 years after Return of the Jedi.
Okay, because that's what I'm like. Like, when they first started talking about the New Republic in the first one, I started looking that up, and I'm like, oh, okay, it's this time period. And then I'm like, hold on a second, because when Luke comes for him and just mows through everyone, it's just like, oh, okay, like, yeah, this all makes sense. But then that's when it finally dawned on me. I'm like, hold on, what's Boba Fett doing around here? But I mean, I'm still here for it. Ming-Na Wen, and I'm trying to think of what his name is, because I can't think of it offhand, but I looked it up.
Offhand I wouldn't know.
Like, he's been in a decent chunk of stuff.
Yeah, well, he was Aquaman's dad, if you saw Aquaman.
Oh yeah, that was one where I'm like, hold on.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, he looked, I was like, wow, man, that guy looks great. And yeah. Like, you scar up his face, and I was just like, holy shit. Like that was one where I'm like, I saw the name, and I'm like, hold on, is that Aquaman's dad? Like, it took me a minute to put two and two together there. But yeah, those two in their own series, I am 100% here for it. I guess, maybe they will, explain the whole, Sarlacc pit getting out of situation.
I guess he could have just, if I don't know if he had his gun, but he did have his backpack. He could have just, you know, set it up and shot out of it, I guess.
I feel like he flew into it, so it does make sense that, I mean, you could argue that maybe he got spit up because of the armor. It did crack me up how quickly he spit shined his armor.
That whole thing was very funny. I'm like, wow, that's you got a coat of paint and everything in there, huh? All right. But then it is, I mean, who the hell knows what's on Slave One, his ship, you know?
Oh.
You know, it was set up for that, so who the hell knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I was so burned by those new movies, they got progressively worse, that like even when The Mandalorian started, I'm like, I don't know about this, man. Star Wars shows should work, but, and then Rogue One came out. Before all that, I was like, oh, that's really good. Solo was pretty good, too, but no one really saw that.
Yeah.
First season good. The way this season started, I was like, oh, man, starting off slow. That's like a direct parallel to the first. And then it just takes a turn, and in that last episode, dude, like I said, I was burned by those movies.
Yeah.
Even when the X-Wing flew in, I thought it was the rebel soldier from the beginning of the season that gave Gina Carano the insignia.
Oh,
I thought it was him.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this guy's going to show up with some badass weapon or something. And then they show the cloak, and I'm like, no. And then they very slowly did the reveal, because even when it was a green lightsaber, it could have been anybody. I mean, everyone has different colored lightsabers. And then they showed his hand. And I'm going, how are they going to do this? And then I'm like, wait, please be him. I was like, please don't screw with us. And then they show the belt, like his brown belt on the black.
Yeah.
And then he takes it off. And I was like, oh, my God. I lost my shit. I was like, they just made up for all the three shit movies that came out. My God, this is fantastic.
Yeah, I feel like we've recorded that, I'm not quite in the shit category for those movies. But yeah, storytelling-wise, it isn't even approaching what they did with that. And even, because there's the other one where I'm kind of going full bore on the on Clone Wars now. For my lunchtime show, so I'm ready to start mowing through those. And I didn't catch last week's episode yet, but I definitely have the go ahead to watch the WandaVision, because I tried to tell her that everything starts to make sense in episode 4, but she just was not having any of it.
Really, episode 3, you get the what?
Yeah.
And then 4. And you didn't hear about last week, did you?
No, I'm still trying to avoid what I could before I get a chance to watch that.
Well, the new one is tomorrow at this recording. It's going to be episode 6.
Yeah.
I can't wait to watch tomorrow. And they're only 30-minute episodes.
Well, yeah. Long. And I might squeeze in that one tomorrow instead of Clone Wars. I don't know if I'll necessarily watch that tomorrow night per se, at least, cause doesn't it air kind of early? Do they release it at like 6 o'clock or something like that?
I don't know. Probably. All the episodes are on early.
Either that,
I have to make sure and choose the correct websites in the morning. to stay away from, because I guess, and this is something she and I used to talk about, people on Twitter didn't spoil Marvel movies. It would take you a week or so. But with the WandaVision TV show, they've spoiled it pretty quick.
Oh.
So that's why I was like, just watch what you do, because that's part of the fun, is WandaVision is making you, like, beyond the first two, like, what the hell is this, episodes? Episode 3, 4, and 5 really start to pull everything together. And
oh, yeah.
It does help to see all, if not all, of the movies. Because there's specific things you're like,
oh,
that guy's from this, from there. She's from here. Oh, they're talking about this from this movie. So it's a very, I guess because it's their first show, but it's a very Marvel movie-centric show. So,
Oh, yeah, you needed to pay attention. I mean, even, I guess just because I almost would have forgot the Age of Ultron in some ways, but for whatever reason, I feel like that movie gets a lot of play on, is it FX?
TNT is playing them all now.
Oh, okay, maybe it's TNT then. I feel like they play Ultron a lot, and I've kind of caught a little bit more of that, because honestly, if I hadn't watched that again, I would say within the last calendar year, like almost completely start to finish, I might have forgotten that Vision died in that one in particular. Or no, hold on, he didn't die in that one. He died at Thanos' hands.
Yeah, he died at the end of Infinity War.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. He Vision, that's the one where Vision came to be.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, so, I guess that I was thinking about, the spy that snuck in, or maybe not snuck in is the right word, that got thrown out of the universe. I'm trying to think of what her name is.
What are you talking about?
The black woman who got, expelled out of WandaVision.
Oh, I can't remember her name.
Okay. There are always things like, and I talk about it with Chris a lot, that whether, Monica Rambeau.
Yes. Okay. I wasn't going to say anything. I knew who you were talking about. So.
Okay. Yeah.
It's hard to talk about a show without giving something. It's hard to talk about without giving it away.
Oh,
and I don't want to do that. So it's like, yes, she is in the show.
But she mentioned something that happened. I guess her mentioning the Ultron stuff was, you were talking about all the kind of little nuggets in there. And like, yeah, you really kind of need to be, you needed to have paid attention to get everything in this one.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I have kind of gone back to at least rewatch some of them.
I'm trying to think. The only one I never watched again was Captain Marvel, because that was boring.
Oh.
Regardless of what anyone says, that movie is boring.
Yeah,
just hyper dumb.
It was okay. That one was just okay. I'm like, I could have done without this one before Infinity War, honestly.
Yeah. I don't know. It didn't gel with me at all. There was so much, as unrealistic as these movies are anyways, there were just some absolutely unrealistic scenes. They took the Skrulls and made them like comedic relief. I'm like, this is, ugh.
Oh. This
is dumb.
Well, I do at least get to plead at least somewhat ignorant. Like at this point, there's stuff that I know that I never read is a comic book that I'm just like, I'm taking it at face value. So if the Skrulls weren't really comedy fodder in the comic books, I don't know any better.
They're one of the scariest people. They're one of the scariest bad guys, like longevity wise, for bad guys. So it's like to see him in this weird role, like, Okay.
Well, and it does make sense if you're a shapeshifter to be evil, you know? Like, it's kind of weird when you're good and you can do that.
Yeah. There was just so much weird stuff in that. Like, I just didn't like that weird. It just didn't like. Everyone loves Thor Ragnarok, and I just thought that movie was totally devoid of drama until the end when she destroys everything. And then you're like, oh, what's going to happen now? But
I thought
they just sacrificed comedy. They sacrificed drama to get a laugh in. And I'm like, this stinks.
I guess I was going to say I could see your argument, but I enjoyed the hell out of that movie.
I liked it, but whenever there was something that they were building up to something good, they just undercut it by having some dumb joke. Like, my biggest one is...
Yeah.
Bruce Banner, or he goes from the Hulk back to Bruce Banner, and he goes, if I change back one more time, I'm not going to be able to turn back. I'm going to be stuck as the Hulk forever. So what happens? He's like, oh my God. He's like, he gets in that moment. They build the drama up to where he has to be the Hulk. You're waiting for him to come back. And what happens? Joke, he falls. Like, this is dumb. You just took, like, this man is going through the struggle of, if I do this, I will never return to being a human being again. I will be stuck as this monster forever.
Well,
it's a joke that he forgot to change the time, like, or didn't change the time. Like, it's just stupid. But then, of course, in the first, Infinity War, he automatically changes back to Bruce Banner, so whatever.
Oh,
which, the Russo brothers are like, we ain't following that shit. So.
Yeah. Which is probably for the best. Like, at least with his character, it's not like he's in the Beast from X-Men mode, where he can be smart and be the, the character at the same time. Like, they've always portrayed him as fairly unintelligent Hulk. And very smart Bruce Banner. So yeah,
until Endgame, that was about it. Because that was the one thing. It's like when they fast forwarded like all the way to Endgame, where he's like smart Hulk, and then you go to Age of Ultron, and he like that whole scene where he's possessed by Scarlet Witch, and he is just destroying things. You're like, wow, that character changed a whole lot.
He probably changed the most out of just about anyone, honestly.
Yeah pretty much.
So I mean, he could maybe make some arguments for Iron Man changing, but he seemed pretty consistent, really. I mean, he has a little bit more of a heart at the end, so I mean, he might have a little more change in him than most of them. God bless Captain America. He never changes.
Yeah. So that's. I supposedly he's going to be in the Falcon show. How? I don't know. But there's rumblings that he's going to be in that, and I'm like, he seemed pretty destined not to do those anymore. Like that was his choice not to be in them anymore. So.
I guess, I mean, you can go, if they decide they want to keep on going with the series, you get a new Captain America. I mean, is this going to be like are they going to use this as like a James Bond type of situation where they're just going to have new people fill in every now and again? It's just like you only get to be Captain America for X number of years, then you have to retire and we're going to pick a new one.
Well, they've been trying to get, like, in that vein, they've been trying to get Hugh Jackman back. Because Marvel has the X-Men now. And, like, who doesn't want to see Wolverine interact with the Avengers? So, apparently, they've been trying to get him to come back as Wolverine. And he's like, I'll be in some of the movies, but I don't want to do solo movie. And they're like, well, no, we need a solo movie out of you. And he's like, well, I'm not going to do that then.
Oh.
And like even like what you were saying, like the James Bond thing.
Yeah.
Can you imagine like today's day where you take over for someone playing that iconic role? Which is what I mean, Chris Evans. I mean, there was so much they could have done with Captain America, but I guess it just got shortchanged with like their bigger storytelling. But it's like he's the guy you're going to look at. So who wants to replace him? I'm sure someone wants that opportunity, but who wants that? You know, you're going to get nothing but ridicule. Absolutely nothing but ridicule.
Oh yeah. Well, it's almost like I feel like it does happen with Batman all the time.
Yeah.
Where it's just like almost automatically people are like, oh no, the new Batman's going to suck. And it's just like, I think most people have done a pretty decent job. Like, even George Clooney, it was more of a shit movie than him being a terrible Batman, honestly.
Yeah. He was a fine Bruce Wayne as Batman, whatever, but that movie stinks. So.
Yeah, and because, I mean, I even myself, I remember, because is it true? I think it's true that Robert Pattinson's a Batman at this point.
Yes. And he looks pretty cool in the costume. So.
Yeah, like, I'm like, man, this is going to be weird. But then I did see some of those pictures, and I'm like, maybe this will work out. Like, I don't really have any basis for him because I haven't seen Twilight at all. Like, it's just like one of those, you kind of recoil from it, or at least I do, because it's just like, oh, teeny girly guy. But then you remember, like, those movies were, like, in the early 2000s, and he's, like, probably in his 30s at this point.
Yeah, he's an adult. and they have the Hollywood diet. So you could, remember what Chris Pine? No. Who's the guy that plays Star-Lord? Him. Anyways, him, just drawing a blank. He was the chubby guy in The Office.
Oh.
And now he's not. Like, no one remembers him as the chubby guy in The Office anymore.
Well, I think enough people have pulled that out that it's just like, hey, he used to be, and it's just, for me, at least online, I've seen enough people go, oh, he used to be the, and I'm like, yeah, I know now. Just stop. Just, I don't need to hear this. Because I know that we talked about the Die Hard being a Christmas movie argument. Like, I think Chris Evans, or not Chris Evans, what's his name? Because Pine is Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
Evans is Steve Captain Rogers. America. Pratt. Chris Pratt.
That's it, yes.
man, yeah, because I have a hard time remembering his name, too. But, yeah, I guess I've heard enough comparison that I'm like, yeah, I do understand that he was the fat guy in Parks and Recs. But that was one that they didn't get me hooked in 6 episodes, and then I checked in again at some point, and I'm like, nah, and I never really got into that one, so I don't even remember him as the fat guy in that.
No, no. But yeah, it's so weird. Like, the whole thing's just strange to think that, like, you've gone through, like, how many James Bonds have we have? And everyone's like, no, this is my favorite, this is my favorite. And I'm like, okay. No one remembers Val Kilmer played Batman.
Oh.
Like, Superman, there's been 3. Well, more. There's been plenty of Superman. I was going to say currently.
Well, and then you're like, well, are you just going TV, or are you going TV and movies?
Yeah, that's why I was like, oh, wait a minute.
Because if you add TV into the mix, you're talking a lot of Supermen. Honestly, it's, I think I'm pretty up with, Dean Cain being my quote unquote Superman. Like, I think I saw more of Lois and Clark than any other Superman program. It's either him or Christopher Reeve, just because we grew up on that era of Superman movies.
Well, hell, they got the guy on the CW shows. There's a Superman and Lois show now. You had Tom Welling on Smallville.
Oh, yeah.
There was actually a Superboy show at one point. That was short-lived. I mean, there's always been some iteration, so it's like, but no one ever complained. It's like, oh, okay, it's another Superman, another Superman.
That is true. Like, there is not as much bitching about who the next Superman is.
No, no.
And I think Henry Cavill's been fine.
Yeah, and we've only had two people to play Wonder Woman.
Oh, man, Gal Gadot.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Sheesh.
One, I mean, The Flash has had a couple different people now. No one really says anything, so it's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I guess maybe it's just the iconic ones, because I know that that was one, getting back to the Marvel stuff, that that the Tom Holland Superman, or Spider-Man, I did not, the first one, I'm like, fuck off, you're doing Spider-Man again, just get out of here. And then I saw him in Civil War, and I'm like, oh, son of a bitch, you're going to make me go back and watch this now, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's good. He's a teenager again, so that was good. I don't know if you saw Amazing Spider-Man. Those were just bad. Ill-conceived. So.
No, because I know that I saw the Tobey Maguire ones. But who was, the Andrew Garfield ones I did not see at all.
Oh, I told you about the one. It was so bad, the kids in front of me were making fun of it. Like, kids who were supposed to love Spider-Man. They were like, why is he kissing a girl? Go save the day. He's like, you're wasting time. Like, this is what they are saying. And I'm behind them going, no shit, dude.
Oh, man. Yeah, does not seem like I need to use my time on those. So that's I will let sleeping dogs lie in that department.
Yeah. So no, I just no. But yeah, I don't know. I was trying to figure out a way to move this into wrestling, but I got nothing. No one really gets recast. We weren't talking about Razor Ramon or Diesel, so.
That would be pretty weird if they. Well, it probably would not be for the best. Those characters would probably be stale at this point.
Who's that?
Like, if we kept on having, like, a big sexy, like, and someone, like... I don't know why I'm sitting here going, Luke Harper, you know, takes over the big sexy gimmick. Like, he comes into the WWE... that would be pretty weird. Although, I mean, I guess it'd be kind of interesting. You know, I mean, we've had enough Jokers and enough takes on Jokers that people have liked different aspects of them. So I don't know. Maybe someone could do something different if they did decide to legacy gimmicks.
I mean, didn't they try that with the Road Warriors 2000 or something?
Because it was Giraz and
Animal.
Animal.
Because that was when, like, Hawk was doing... No. Road Warriors 2000 was there... They came back. And Sonny was their manager.
Oh.
I think the new Road Warriors, because they introduced Giraz into it, because Hawk was having all his problems. But it's like, it's always like, it never works. There's never been a team... Like a new team that's more successful than the originals. The only one that comes to mind is the Midnight Express after Dennis Condrey took off. Stan Lane and Bobby Eaton were pretty good.
Yeah, and I know that we've talked about that a little bit before, but that's the version that I remember more, is the Stan Lee version. So yeah, they did some pretty good business after Dennis Condrey left. Still, but yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, usually when they bring in someone else, it doesn't tend to work out. But I think legacying a gimmick is a little, well, because I mean, haven't the old gimmick almost been around the whole time? Like, I don't know, would Draws and some other new guy have cut it maybe on their own?
I can't think of anybody. And usually it's tag teams, too. Like, you can't, oh, you know what? I take that back. you can franchise a character. Look at Doink. Was it 47 people played Doink? So I guess if it's got makeup involved or something, you could do it. And it actually makes total sense that way too.
Yeah. Has the same person always been the Gobbledygooker?
No, that's always been. Well, that was Hector Guerrero. Wasn't that who that was, the original?
I don't remember.
A bunch of whoever's.
Yeah, I really, I am not sure. But yeah, I guess that's kind of wondering. I mean, we know we had multiple Ultimate Warriors. Okay. Sorry for the bad joke.
Jesus Christ. Man, somebody... What was it? It was... I'm trying to remember what it was, but basically, there was an in-ring segment where everybody in the ring was dead, except for one person.
Oh.
And I couldn't believe it. I was looking at it like, holy shit, none of these people are alive. It was the weirdest thing. Like, you don't see that. Like, outside of watching a movie from the fucking 20s, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That will happen. But not in a form of entertainment to where it's like such a select few people are actually been in it.
Yeah, like you don't have to look at it like a Saturday Night Live cast. Like, there might be a couple of them that are dead, but for the most part you can look at the different iterations of the cast and go, oh yeah, like at least 75% of them are still alive today.
Yeah. I'm not watching Friends going, man, it's really sad that Phoebe Cates is dead. Which she wasn't actually in that show, I don't think. But Phoebe Cates was from Gremlins. And as other people will know her from Fat Times at Ridgemont High.
Well, Lisa Kudrow was Phoebe.
Phoebe, that's where I got it from.
Yeah, because...
But yeah.
Was that... Whatever. Yeah.
But all right, but to keep it on wrestling, let's just talk about Wednesday's show, because Monday I shut the shit off. There is no chance in hell you're going to convince me to go to WrestleMania. In the current state of Raw, no chance in hell. No way. Now, maybe it'd be different because there's a crowd. Absolutely fucking not. And I said it one time about Wednesday real quick. I got to get this off my chest. Please explain to me how this makes any sense. For 3 weeks, 4 weeks, Bobby Lashley has beat the bejesus out of Matt Riddle and made him tap every single time. So this week, Keith Lee and Matt Riddle have a match. Keith Lee wins. He gets and you're like, oh, so Matt Riddle lost again. What a great way to build up somebody new. And then what happens? Bobby Lashley comes out and beats the hell out of both of them. And you're like, oh, well, that was rude. Oh, by the way, coming up on Elimination Chamber, there's going to be a three-way match for the United States title against the guys that can't beat Bobby Lashley. What the fuck is going on? That makes no sense. That'd be like Buffalo saying, hey, we would have done better than the Chiefs, so why don't we just have a three-way Super Bowl and see if Tampa can retain the title? It's idiocy.
Well, that was... The only thing that I can hope for is that, like, Drew McIntyre needs an opponent.
Yes.
Because Edge's choice to me is between Finn Balor and Roman Reigns.
It's gonna be Roman. It has to be.
Well, yeah. I put at least 90% of my stock in Roman Reigns, and I'm just giving Finn Balor a standing chance because I feel like he's one of those guys that when Edge and Christian had a podcast, he would have said, I would love to have had a match with that guy.
Yeah.
So I don't want to completely rule him out, but yeah, I think it's 90% Roman Reigns. He's taken up. Reigns is taken up as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
That leaves McIntyre with an opponent, which is, to get back to the Bobby Lashley point, like, I guess I hope that that's what they're building up for Lashley. Like, I hope he loses the title in this three-way. There's going to be some shenanigans. He's probably not going to get pinned. I'm going to assume that I would almost be shocked if Keith Lee doesn't do the pinning of Matt Riddle, honestly, because, like you said, like, Riddle's... He's kind of in almost that weird Dean Ambrose stage where he gets a match and or mic time, but he's not really succeeding. So it's hard to see his appearances as a positive because things don't go all that well for him most of the time.
So, to me,
I see Keith Lee doing it. Lashley gets pissed about not getting a match again. He either gets himself DQ'd or just doesn't worry about it and goes after McIntyre. Because even though they had a matchup already, Lashley just... They have done a much better job of presenting him ever since the Hurt Business came around.
Honestly,
I do kind of like the freaking out of Bobby Lashley and him even freaking out MVP. But then MVP going, yeah, like, he is super pissed. Like, let's get this thing done. Like, if that doesn't end in him in a championship match, and honestly, I would hope that he'd finally get it. Like, he seems like a guy that, not seems like, in my opinion, he's one of those guys that he deserves a title run. Like, I don't know what else that guy can do. Like, he's been in so many big spots for the WWE, and it's almost bizarre that he hasn't gotten a championship at some point because of his size and because of his pedigree.
Yeah, I'm with you. This seems like it's destined to be, or well, to me, if you look at it, two badasses going at it. And
yeah.
And I know Lashley's the heel, so okay. But him beating Drew McIntyre doesn't really hurt anybody. It's like, okay.
Oh.
You know, because Drew's been going through everybody, and he's going to have a short program with Sheamus, because I can't imagine that's going to go to WrestleMania. And it's just like, okay. Yeah. You know, after a while, you just get worn down. And if Randy wouldn't have beaten him, it would have meant more. But... You know.
Oh, right.
But it's, yeah, I mean, and it's hard. I know he's supposed to be doing heelish stuff, but it's hard to root against Lashley because he's just coming out and demolishing people.
Oh.
Well, how the hell am I supposed to boo a guy who's just successful? It doesn't make sense. He's not cheating to win. He's
right.
Just winning.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know why you're supposed to, like, in general, I don't know why you're supposed to boo the Hurt Business as a whole. Because, and that, again, is kind of been part and parcel with Bobby Lashley has been presented so much differently since the Hurt Business became a thing. And it's just like, why are you booing these guys? Like, they try to have those, hey, we're backstage, we're dicks segments, but they all come off so lame. Like, it really actually hurts their image more than it helps it.
Yeah, and, well, see, all right, so to me, those are the parts of it that come off scripted, those backstage things. Then you have MVP in the ring, someone interrupts, he's like, what are you doing here? Like, immediately. He doesn't even give him a chance to say anything. Or he's like, fine, if you want me to kick your ass, then fine, let's go. Like, they don't back down. They're not chicken shit heels.
Yeah.
You know, maybe if he was like, nah, I'm okay. Or even if Lashley, like, if Riddle or Keith Lee gets the best of him for 1 second, then he's like, nah, I'm out of here. But he doesn't do that. He's like, nah, I'm just going to beat the hell out of you guys still. So, yeah, it's just very, you know... It's weird, and it's like, well, this seems to be what should happen. Because I know he calls him the CEO of the Hurt Business because he has the U.S. title. Oh, you know, come on. It should be the WWE Championship, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And isn't it actually CHO, the Chief Hurt Officer?
Oh, is that what it is?
I
I always thought
believe.
he said the CEO of the Hurt business.
Or maybe he just says that in passing sometimes, the Chief Hurting Officer or something like that. But yeah, that's the only reason I can see having Bobby Lashley dismantle both. If they don't go that route and both Keith Lee and Riddle were destroyed for that, I got it, it becomes a bad idea at that point.
Yeah. But it's like, that's the only thing. So there, we already made two WrestleMania matches, which I'm not going to, which we weren't going to anyways, but fast forward to Wednesday,
Yeah.
whose show did you like better?
I guess I always almost always lean towards NXT. Just because it did help that, again, like, and I think that you and I talked about it, and, well, actually, Chris just doesn't like the Wednesday night shows that much at the current moment, in general. But I still find both of them enjoyable. Like, I think that AEW has more booking problems. And the problem that I know the last time you and I recorded was that NXT had a problem because they didn't have a focus, but now that, like, the early round matches for the Dusty Classic are out of the way,
Yeah.
it's really helped out because it was just the two matches on the show, right?
For the Dusty Cup?
For the Dusty Cup, yeah, because
Yeah,
they
it
didn't
was
have.
the
Oh no, I'm sorry, it was all three.
Yeah, there was oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant two men, yes, and then the women's match. Yeah.
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 But just knowing that it's just like it's the semifinals, we get all because the women's se other semifinal was last week.
Right.
Because that's why when you texted me about Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez, I was like, did I miss a
Yeah,
match last night? Am
that was
I?
last week. Yeah.
I'm like, but yeah, I guess I always lean a little more towards NXT because they kind of, because the Dusty Cup was coming into focus, and I feel like they did a pretty decent job of building towards, they're at the point where they are filling in pay-per-view spots when the WWE doesn't have anything for the main brands to pay-per-view. And I feel like they held out on doing that for a while, but I always feel like these pay-per-views for NXT kind of pop up almost out of nowhere in some ways. Maybe it's just because there isn't a traditional schedule like there is for the main roster, but they've really gone with them here in the, I guess, the COVID era. And yeah, having the Dusty Cup finals there, having I'm trying to think, oh, Kushida and the Johnny Gargano slash the Way stuff has been kind of fun, but it also feels like in some ways that it's, I don't know if they lost Kushida in some of it because they've had to involve other people in the shenanigans since the Way is a faction.
Yeah.
And I guess it's been fine. Like I've enjoyed a lot of some of the storytelling, but I guess it's kind of lost. It's been lost in the shuffle a little bit, I guess, until this week. Like, I really loved the segments that all of them were in this week.
See, all right, here's the problem, and maybe it's a language difference. or a culture difference, because she is not that entertaining to me. I don't know what it is. There's just not. There's a total disconnect with him. He's a good wrestler, but that's it. So Johnny's got to carry the whole thing, which this week was very funny.
Oh,
and then it got weird at the end. But we, you know, like the X-ray Regal not being stupid, which how refreshing is that? The GM's not an idiot.
So then, nice.
Yeah, and like Johnny Gargano, like, and then they had the end of the set, like Kushida showing up, Austin Theory doing the spit take made me laugh.
Oh.
And then all that stuff. And then it went away to commercial and then went to like some segments. Then we got back and Austin Theory and Kushida are in the ring. And I'm like, what? Oh, we're still doing this? And then, you know, Gargano, like, you know, costing the match by kicking Kushida in the head. And then he goes, it's a miracle. Or Wade Barrett is hilarious on commentary. It's a miracle. You know, like, and then Beth goes, oh, come on, Wade. And he goes, some people just have a much faster healing ability than others, Beth. So, like, he's having fun with it. Everyone's having fun with it.
Yeah.
And then the end of the show, all of a sudden, Johnny Gargano's super serious. I was like, did I miss a segment where he was like, enough of these fun and games sort of thing? Like, he was all of a sudden just a badass, like he used to be. Which I know saying Johnny Gargano's a badass is whatever, but, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I smell what you're cooking. Like, he definitely seemed like he got focused in that moment.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I loved it though. I mean, unfortunately, that's like the Johnny Gargano baby face right there. The confident guy. So I liked it. I like all that stuff. Candace is growing on me. Like her facial reactions, like when they were doing different chants in the background, her just looking disgusted is like, oh, whatever. Theory's good. Indy Hartwell's just kind of there right now.
Yeah.
She has the least personality, unfortunately.
Yeah, she really hasn't gotten any type of... Because not that Theory's gotten a lot of his own time, necessarily, but he's still at least had some singles matches, and... Obviously, LeRae and Hartwell did, you know, kind of lost in their bid to get to the Dusty Cup championship, but Team Delicious had to get to the championship.
Yeah. I wasn't really down with their in-ring gear this week, but it was just awkward. I'm not used to seeing Ember Moon wear pants. She usually used to wear a little Athena skirt. And all that stuff.
Oh.
This isn't like a perv thing. It was just weird.
Yeah, I feel like she's worn pants a little bit more since the return to NXT.
Okay. Maybe I just haven't been paying that careful of attention. But it's like whenever someone changes their outfit like that, it kind of stands out. Like Hangman Page, all of a sudden he's wearing pants now. Who else? Somebody else went from trunks to pants or something. Seth Rollins used to wear trunks all the time. Now he wears pants.
Oh.
Roman doesn't wear a shirt anymore. It's like just those little things. You're like, did they totally redo their looks? Like, no, it's just one small thing, you know?
When I first started trying to do the art of wrestling, it was one of those things where I'm like, oh, it's going to be easy to keep track of people's gear. And now it's like almost a weekly change. It's just like, at some point I just tapped out, you know? Because like people change so frequently, it's like, I'm not going to rate this on a weekly basis. Like what? Oh, it was during, was it the Royal Rumble, I think, that Liv Morgan was wearing some chaps that evidently... were directly from a Christina Aguilera video.
Yeah, have you never seen that video?
I'm not gonna pull that out of my memory banks.
But I'm
watching, because it was definitely the Rumble, because I was on Twitter and I was actually on time, And people just started pulling out that reference, and I'm like, yeah, not happening here. Like, have I seen that video 100% multiple times? But, yeah, not going to pull that one. Just, yeah, just not happening.
I wasn't worried about her outfit. I was worried about, I was disappointed that there was still too much outfit. So. Yeah, no, it, so, yeah. I guess, like, that part of NXT I enjoyed. Dexter Lumis, I don't know what the fuck they're doing with him. He's like the boogeyman now. But then at the end, he was staring at Kushida. Like, he's burning a hole through Kushida. Kushida's not even paying attention to him. And I'm like, is he going to interfere or something? Like, what's going on? And then NXT just is in a weird spot anyways, because I think there's way too much fascination with the Dusty Cup still.
Oh,
but they've given some damn good matches. With a is it VSK?
Right? MSK.
MSK. Damn it. I knew there was an M. I just messed up. But MSK and those guys.
Legado del Fantasma.
Thank you. I'm not even trying. That was good. Grizzled Young Veterans and then Thatcher and Ciampa was damn good. Grizzled Young Veterans are so underrated. They're absolutely unlikable, and they're really good in the ring. They are unlikable. I know we talked about this last time.
Yeah.
Can you ever see cheering for them? No. I don't care if they rescue a puppy and an old lady at the same time. It ain't fucking happening. No.
Well, I mean, they do it. Yeah, they just do a good job of just being dicks, and they don't try to ham it up at all.
Yeah.
Like, there's... And, I mean, we talk about it. There's always almost some type of catchiness to the heel stuff these days that at some point it's going to catch on.
Yeah.
And they're not doing anything catchy. Which,
no,
I,
they're
like...
They're also not doing anything, like... And I know you don't watch much of these, but, like, anything Walter does, he's got that giant slap, so everyone's into him. They don't do anything like that.
So oh.
There's really nothing you can, like, I think it's on the same tip you were getting at. It's like, there's nothing you can get behind. You're just like, ugh, these guys.
Yeah,
but
well,
in a good
and they
way,
don't.
But a good way.
And they don't have, like, a fancy move set. And they're not even, like, in that, kind of that, well, even the, yeah, Timothy Thatcher slash. It seems like Ciampa has gone to more of that, like, MMA type of style. Like,
yeah,
there is, you know, there can be kind of a little bit of flashiness to how you, you know, transfer from hold to hold with that stuff. But there isn't anything in the Grizzled Young Veterans arsenal that really sticks out to me.
Right. They have good matches, but you can't. It's strange. They have good matches, sometimes great, but I can't tell you one goddamn spot they did.
They're not
supposed to, because they're the bad guys. So.
Yeah, because, I mean, even, like, I guess I'm thinking about, like, the Revival. It's just, like, the Shatter Machine is still a fun finisher.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like... So, like, even when they were kind of healing it up in almost every other aspect, like, that was something that was always just like, oh, man, that's a fun one. And, yeah, Grizzled Young Veterans, I don't even remember what their... I know that they did their finisher, but I'm trying to remember even what it was.
I don't know. They did a Doomsday Machine on Ciampa, which scared the shit out of me.
Oh.
But they took that so nicely. Yeah, I can't remember what it is. So there you go. Like, all the bad guys have finishers. Like, the Heart Attack was probably the most famous one for bad guys, right? Besides the Rocket Launcher for the Midnight Express.
Oh, yeah. It's either that or, well, yeah. I mean, I guess I always remember the Doomsday Device.
Yeah. Well, they were good guys, too, doing it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Ticket to Mayhem is at least the name of it. What that means, I'm not sure. Yeah. As far as
I can't remember, but like, I'm just glad that's over with, so we can start getting back into other storylines for people. Like, I know they've been doing a lot with Kyle O'Reilly, but what the hell happened to Adam Cole? Like, why is he on the back burner so much?
He's still with that, like, Gargano needed a wholesale change to get himself back on TV. And I think Ciampa's kind of found his ticket with Thatcher. Because they had done too much damage to Thatcher. And I think Thatcher kind of needed the help, too. Because he's been on a slow downhill ride ever since he beat Matt Riddle in the first Lions Den match.
Yeah.
So, like, both of those guys kind of needed a little image rehab, and I hope that they don't stick as a tag team, but they're more kind of, like, just kind of in each other's corner and do enough distracting to kind of help each other win kind of a situation, but that will stand to be seen. But yeah, Adam Cole is just in that spot. Like, what do you do with him? Like, was he two-time champion already? On top of the fact that he has the longest reign in NXT championship history?
No, I think he only had it the one time.
Oh, he only had the one? Okay.
No. Didn't Ciampa beat him for it? No. Yeah, I think it was only once. God damn.
Okay. Well, but
No, I'm sorry. Gargano beat him, and then he beat Gargano. That's right. I had my people in a steel cage mixed up. So
he's just in a weird spot, you know.
But
like,
it's just strange how he just went to the back burner.
It's almost like, hey, we don't have any what's his name, Pat McAfee here for you to go against, like. Because I don't know, like, as weird as the Santos Escobar Karrion Kross match is going to be, like, I'm not sure I really want to see a Karrion Kross Adam Cole match.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Like, that's someone, well, like, smaller going against Karrion Kross.
Yeah, but even to that tip, like, even next week, we're doing Karrion Kross and Escobar. Like, what? Why?
Yeah, that is confusing as all hell. Yeah. Like, I at least understand the Adam Cole situation, because it's like, almost all of his peers or people that have come in after him have moved along. You know, like, Keith Lee's not there, Damian Priest isn't there, Dijakovic isn't there, you know, Riddle isn't there. Like, so many of those guys have been bumped up so that they, you know, whether they've done anything on the main roster or not, at least have some fresh opponents to go against. Like, NXT, like, is there anyone in the singles division, I feel like, that has a fresh face that seems like they're destined for championship gold, that Adam Cole could be like a gatekeeper is going to be the best word I can come up with right now.
I think there's Bronson Reed. I get the feeling he's a big enough guy that they're going to want to try and do something with him. Trying to think, fresh faces, Cross, Thatcher's out. Ciampa's definitely out. Austin Theory could be one. If they want to move the way into the Undisputed Era.
That could work.
But before I get to the last person, Scarlett is still hot as hell. Cool segment backstage. Not much to it, but it was still cool. I loved how Escobar just handled his guys losing. He goes, don't worry about it. You want to make it up to me? Go do this. And yes, they got their asses kicked, but, you know, whatever.
That really isn't the point. It's more Escobar is the point.
Yeah. I mean, they're the goons, and there you go. So it's like, okay. But I like the fact that he wasn't like, oh my god, how could you disgrace me like this? Like, that's just cliche and boring. So they got away from that.
Yeah.
Pete Dunne, and, you know, they had good talking, good segments of talking, get everything up. And I'm trying to think, was there anything else on the show?
The one other thing, just because I had had results up, really helped out. There is nothing in wrestling, honestly, that I think I love more at this current moment than Io Shirai video packages.
Oh, I thought we were on the same page. Yeah.
Not on the same really page good. On that one?
No. I agree with you, but there was definitely something else on this show that stood out, and I did not... Oh, yes, I did text you about it.
Oh, dear God. How could I... Yeah, you said that it was the highlight of Wednesday, and how dare I forget, honestly.
I mean...
Cameron Grimes hitting it rich off of the GameStop situation is comedy gold. And I am completely here for it. I am 100% on board. And I guess Cameron Grimes is one of those guys that, speaking of opponents for Adam Cole, like I could see Cameron Grimes, Adam Cole. I could get into that.
Okay, so I was listening and did a little research of my own. Apparently, this is based in reality. So Cameron Grimes, he didn't do it off of GameStop stock. He did it off of AMC stock.
Oh, yeah.
So he legit made a ton of money off of this.
Oh, wow.
He's not this is what I've read, so I don't know if it's true or not, okay? But Brian Alvarez was talking about it today on their Wrestling Observer Radio for the this afternoon. And apparently this is based in reality. He made a shit ton of money. Now he's not like, you know, the richest man in the world or anything. So they're using that as, you know, to get this the country redneck guy over, which is there anything funnier? I'm sure there is, but the Ferrari pulls up. I'm like, who the hell is this? Cameron Grimes gets out in a velour suit this time. A brown velour suit so you can't even tell. No shirt on. His doofus hat. And he's walking around handing, like, just throwing $100 bills at people. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And he goes into his diatribe. I was like, you know, I went into a GameStop. And I'm like, oh, no. What is this? And then it's like, I don't know, I discovered video games. And I'm like, okay, I guess he didn't know about it. He's like, video games are pretty cool. And he's going on, and he's going on, and how he's made his money. And then when he worked his catchphrase in, which cracked me up. And then the utter joy, like, okay, so I'm going to take the fact that he made a lot of money in reality at face value.
Uh-huh.
The amount of joy he displayed at the end when he was like, I don't have to do anything I don't want to do. And I went, this guy is a babyface. There is no way you can boo this guy. Because that's the dream everyone wants. And he's not a million-dollar man type where he's like, everyone's got a price and I'm richer than you and this and this. It's a doofus with money.
Yeah.
And then he starts telling us, like, oh, you want me to fight Dexter Lumis, Mr. Regal? Eh-eh. You kiss my grits. And I'm like, okay, they're doing that. And then, because you know it's going to be a shirt. There has to be a shirt with that.
Oh, you know, please.
Sure, probably copyrighted, but... But then he's like, oh, you want me to fight zombies? No, I'm not doing that either. And I'm like, this is fantastic. Like, the guy, there's no way you can boo this guy because he's basically a doofus Steve Austin. Like he's like Bizarro Steve Austin. You know, I know Austin didn't brag about money, but he's acting like a cocky asshole.
Yeah,
because he has money. It's hilarious. It was so entertaining. I was openly laughing at him. Like, this is great stuff. That hands down the segment of the month so far of any show. I don't care that Kenta showed up last week. I don't care about any of the Inner Circle stuff. None of this compares to this. There is a ridiculously high bar set by Cameron Grimes this week. From the writing to the joy he displayed in this, I could not believe how good this was. And I love the guy anyways, so it really helps. But to say, like, you know, imagine the interaction between him and Undisputed Era. Like, they're the best. Like, well, you may be the best, but I've got more money. Like, you know, and then eventually you know he's going to lose it all.
Oh, yeah.
Which is going to be even better.
Yeah, and that's really what you texted me about, because I hadn't thought about that part. I was just like, oh, Cameron Grimes with money is going to be hilarious. And then, yeah, the fact that there is going to be an eventual fall and that he's not going to have the money, that it's going to make it all the funnier. It, yeah.
Or to find out that he's in, like, he lost money instead.
Because he didn't
buy Bitcoin, right? He bought Dogecoin? Isn't that what he said? He did not say Bitcoin.
No, I think he said Bitcoin.
Did he? Okay, I could have sworn he said Dogecoin for some reason. Like, yeah. He was purposely saying the wrong thing to, like, put that sliver of, he's going to lose all his money. I'll have to go back and watch it again. But yeah, I couldn't believe how good that was. And I was so happy I didn't get that ruined by Instagram or Facebook or anything.
Oh, Dogecoins.
That's it, Dogecoin. Yes. Hey, I don't even know. Is that a real thing?
No.
Okay.
I did forget how enjoyable, I don't know why I forgot how enjoyable that was, but yeah, I guess two of my favorite things, and maybe that's why I leaned towards NXT also. Cameron Grimes was hilarious, and I'm still going to go to bat for Io Shirai and her video packages, because yes, they're great. A thing of beautiful. Beauty.
Finn Balor's been pretty good too.
Finn's
like, I'm the champion, I'm the best, you can't compare to me. The end. That's it. And then he backs it up. And I understand, like, Kenny Omega is a heel, or trying to be a heel, and he comes off as cocky, arrogant, whatever, but there's also, like, I guess he's been so goofy, or I guess there's two totally different personalities, that it comes across as an act, where Finn, which is clearly an act, comes across as genuine. To where I take Finn Balor far more seriously than I do Kenny Omega as champion, as like the head or face of a company.
Well, they're not having Finn do the goofball part. Like, you know, they don't have... you know, what's his name? Don Callis and the Kenny Omega portrait. Like, they haven't done Finn in anyone else in some weird portrait. They don't have... No one's a spokesperson for Finn Balor. You know, because he doesn't need a spokesperson, because he's perfectly good at talking anyway. Yeah, like, he's kind of just brass tacks, and there's a little bit of frill that's going into Kenny Omega's character that's making it not as good, honestly.
Yeah, they need to figure out what the hell they're even doing with all this stuff, unless they have a long-term plan, but it doesn't make a lot of sense right now. Like, okay, like, what's the point? Like, people just showing up. And I don't know. I like it for the shock factor, if you want, for AEW. To where, okay, now all of a sudden Kenta showed up. That was a genuine surprise last week.
No.
Okay, but then taking away the surprises of everything, there's not a lot going on. Like, there's enough going on without something happening.
And that's what when Chris told me about his dislike about the Wednesday shows, like, I still like watching AEW. I think that there is enough enjoyable stuff that I like it, but I also don't think that their storytelling is very good at all.
It's no.
If there is even storytelling, honestly.
Yeah, it's just totally haphazard. Like, okay, it's a small example.
Oh.
So we had the wedding last week with Miro and all of them, right?
Yeah.
Chuck was supposed to be his young boy butler, whatever else, right?
But only until the wedding.
Oh, is that? Oh, it was only until the wedding?
Yeah.
I thought it was for a whole month. Okay.
Nope.
Well, okay, so this kind of changes things then. Okay. But, so take that away. That was going to be a complaint. It's not anymore. But, one thing I kind of liked was, like, you know, Miro finally looked like a badass. He's going to kill these guys. And then you have the other two just blowing them off. And Orange Cassidy goes, what do you think was going to happen? And then Chuck Taylor's like, yeah, Orange Cassidy's coming out of a cake. Like, duh. Oh. And it's like, you know what? That's the audience. Like, they're the audience going, yeah, this is dumb. Like, yeah, of course that was going to happen. But then again, so are we going to get a match? Like, it's weird we complain about WWE always having pay-per-views all the time. I think it would actually benefit AEW to have, like, six pay-per-views a year. You know?
Yeah.
Because this is never-ending shit, man.
there are a lot of storylines that are just lost in some weird wilderness that... Although, because when's the next... Because where's Sting wrestling? Because he's not... Is he just wrestling on TNT?
I don't care. I don't know. Every time Sting comes on, I just don't know. I don't know. I really don't know.
Well, I was just trying to... I feel like they were advertising something is kind of the main point that I was going towards. Because I know that they just had the beach break that was on TNT, but I felt like they had set those guys up for some type of pay-per-view situation, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're just going to be on TV. And who were we? Because it was a little bit Kenta, a little bit Kenny Omega. And, oh, my main storyline issue, honestly, I know I've talked about it, and because it was another big segment, I guess I'm kind of glad that something happened in and of the fact that Sammy Guevara finally left the Inner Circle.
Okay, I definitely want to talk about that. So, AEW, right, this goes to their storytelling, too. AEW is weird. They acknowledge the fact that people watch TV. So the whole thing with Sammy last night is he comes in, he's like, hey, everyone out, camera guys stay, you know. So I guess it's partially Sammy covering his ass as well.
Oh, yeah.
So MJF does all this, you have all this stuff. Cool. And then MJF is looking like all snide. And then Sammy comes out, says he quits. And Jericho doesn't know what's going on because he hasn't watched TV yet. But at the end of the segment, MJF is very deliberately happy, very openly happy he quit. And he's like smiling behind his back and then switching his face. Well, then on Twitter today, Chris Jericho says, okay, I didn't see that stuff go on. We've got some stuff to discuss. Well, wait a minute. I'm guessing he's going to talk about discussing that MJF has caused all this and then is clearly happy with his dealings. Like, I guess it's a wait and see. But I did like the approach that Sammy was like, no, I told you what was going to happen and I'm leaving. And did.
So, that part of the angle, I guess I did find a little bit refreshing. But it just never... My problem was still that Sammy never really bought in at all. So it's almost just like you almost need to wait for him to have his point proven correct. Like, even though it's not proven correct, or it's already really been proven correct, how do you even put that? Yeah, like, it's already been proven correct, but because Chris Jericho and really the rest of the Inner Circle isn't buying it, it really, to me, kind of hurts Guevara's situation. And plus, Guevara was in the background so much. Like, it's like, so what if he leaves? Like, and I would have almost felt the same way if Santana and Ortiz were the two to leave. It's just like, oh, so you're getting rid of the losers on the team? Is this a, why is this a problem?
Yeah.
And that, and I guess that's part of the problem that I have with Guevara leaving. It's just like, okay. Like, I mean, I kind of understand, since he almost murdered Matt Hardy, that maybe he's not getting as many matches now. But, you know, you need to have some level of investment in the guy leaving. Like, he's right that he said that this was going to happen, but I don't care that he's right at all. Which, again, goes back to storytelling. Like, I need to be invested in a Sammy Guevara babyface turn. Why do I care about that right now? Like, because he was right about MJF being a schmuck? Like, everyone knew that already. Like, he didn't know anything anyone didn't already know. Like, yeah, not a good angle, in my opinion. Like, smart move by Sammy Guevara, and it is something that a character who's said something like that already should do, but I don't care. I still don't care about him at all.
It's hard to with so many different people, but I think, like, I'm gonna disagree with you on that, because I think of all the people in the Inner Circle, like, Santana Ortiz have just been kind of middling around. Hager is just kind of there now because of his MMA commitments. Yeah. So it was always in the beginning, Jericho and Sammy was right next to me, always in frame, always this. So there was a definite relationship there. And now it's just crumbled because of this guy, and Jericho's just not paying attention, supposedly. I'm very curious to see if Jericho is in on this the whole time, because, you know, he's the smart bad guy. So.
Oh. Yeah, that would be the most fun part of this angle to come out of it. If Jericho was kind of behind helping pick people off in the Inner Circle, that would be quite a reveal. But it also, again, like, that's going to happen so far down the line, it would be like, I don't care. You know, like, and and like you said, like, considering that they've already acknowledged that people can watch TV, there's no reason for, I guess that does kind of give Jericho some backstory. I'm trying to talk myself into it now. That, you know, because there is some level of Chris Jericho did know the whole time if he says something. But, I mean, you almost really do need to get Santana and Ortiz out of that group to really, like, they just need to pare down some, and they need to get rid of Swagger, honestly.
Having Swagger Wardlow around with Wardlow beating him made no sense. It makes no sense to have him around.
Yeah.
I know, like, each one works as a bodyguard for the other two. Okay, cool. But, you know, it's too many people, first off. It was as soon as Wardlow and MJF joined. Too many people. We all knew that. So it almost makes sense if Sammy and or Santana or Ortiz break off. Which I think maybe part of what MJF's trying to do is break up the Inner Circle. You know?
Oh, was, yeah. You know,
that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's another possibility. And then Jericho won't see it. And then we can have the Inner Circle reunion. I don't know. Anyways, that's far down the road. But that's like, but when you come to the storytelling part of AEW, yeah, it's really kind of lost. Like, why in the hell is Lance Archer and Moxley fighting? I'm sorry, Kenny Omega fighting? Did I miss something?
In a street fight Falls Count Anywhere matchup.
Yeah, when they've had no beef with anything.
Well, they've kind of had some run-ins that they've tried to tie together, but it's a weak tying together, honestly. So, yeah. I don't know, really. You know, it's one of those, to me, them bringing in so many different, AEW bringing in so many different other leagues, like, it might work in the long run out as a cool thing to do. And I mean, I feel like I remember watching the old ROH and, because they weren't ever with New Japan, were they? Who were they with? Oh, Dragon Gate. You know, it was fun to see people show up for a while and then take off because you got to have some fresh matchups and whatnot.
Yeah.
But all this stuff has been so haphazard. It's just like, essentially only women have come over from NWA. We only really are getting Kenta from New Japan. The Good Brothers have really been the only real actors from Impact to move over. I mean, I know that there's been some Santana and Ortiz on Impact, if I'm not mistaken. And some other teams over, you know, I feel like there's been a couple of guys that have popped up on Impact, but whatever.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, just Private Party.
Oh, Private Party. That's right. Because yeah, they're going after the championships against the Good Brothers over there. Yeah, like, it's like they're doing it, but there's not, like, I guess with the ROH and Dragon Gate stuff, like, it was almost a flood of talent at one time. And then it's just like, oh, okay, this is nice to kind of break up, you know, the stories that we had been telling. We get kind of different groups doing different things. But there's almost so little of the crossing over, it's not really impacting things. And it's almost weird that they're advertising the New Japan U.S. Championship on the show. Like, they haven't mentioned John Moxley really having that at all up to this stage, and now yep. all of, I mean, I know that he's had it the whole time, but the fact that they haven't really acknowledged that until now is kind of weird to just bring it up because you have the deal. I mean, I guess I understand why you don't bring it up, but it also makes it kind of weird, you know, that all of a sudden that this is an acknowledged fact, even though he's held the championship pretty much your entire company run.
Yeah, the entire time he's been at AEW, I think he's been the U.S. champion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like 440-something days, so it about equals out, yeah. And yeah, you're right, it is weird they just bring it up, and he's like, and they mention he's going to defend it, but never tell you how to watch it.
Yeah. I thought that that was just a feature of last week, but then they did it again this week, and I'm like, oh, okay. This is not just a weekly feature.
Yeah. It's. I'm guessing Kenta's going to beat him, so he won't be on anymore. I don't know, though. But I think sometimes with this AEW, TNA, I'm sorry, Impact, and now New Japan thing, and whatever the women are coming from, the Japanese women, I think people are making more of it in their head than there's actually going on. I think this is a polite business relationship.
Oh.
And that's it. I don't know if there's going to be much more. Like, Tanahashi and Evil, or who's the one I'm missing?
Okada.
Thank you. You know, none of them are showing up. Now, if those guys showed up, then we got something to talk about. You'd be like, wait, Okada's here? Like, holy shit. And then have Okada come in and beat Omega for the AEW title? How incredible would that be? Like, wait, what is going on?
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess it's not surprising, given the pandemic, that there isn't, at least with New Japan, this giant influx of talent.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's still kind of weird and random. And I understand that New Japan wants their championship back, but considering that they have more championships than the WWE, they don't really need it.
I don't know about that, actually, but there's what?
They only have less championships because they don't have a women's division?
Yeah, and well, no, because I guess WWE would have 8? 9?
New Japan has the Trios tag team.
Oh my god, I always forget about that one.
Tag team, Dream, Open Weight Championship, Intercontinental, and Heavyweight. So I guess they do only have 5. And don't they have the Great British Bake Off Championship too?
Oh, yeah, the British one?
Yeah.
I don't know. That belongs to another promotion, I believe. That's just there, though. So.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I guess the WWE still has more championships, but just barely, man. Just barely. Oh, and I guess the U.S. Championship, so that really does make 6. For them. And the WWE has, what, 8?
Yeah, because of the women. And then yeah. 9. No, 9. Yeah, because you have the 2 women's titles and tag titles. Tag titles on each. Intercontinental, U.S., Universal, WWE, 24/7. So 10.
Hey, honestly, considering that the WWE's roster is probably like twice the size of New Japan's, I'm going to go with the WWE having less championships. I know that the number is higher. I get that. But per capita, I'm going with the WWE.
A trio's tag title makes no sense when you have a regular tag title, let alone 2 different tag titles.
Oh my god. And yeah, I didn't put that. Never mind. There's 7 for New Japan because I forgot about the junior heavyweight. Oh no, that's 8. Because the junior heavyweight tag team championships and the junior heavyweight tag or singles.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so they have two less championships than the WWE, and they have like half of the roster.
Damn, you're right. Yeah, and that's why everybody's like, aren't the Gorillas, not Gorillas of Destiny? Who's Tongaloa and...
Yeah, Gorillas of Destiny.
They are Gorillas, all right.
Yeah.
I always got them mixed up with Roppongi Vice. I don't know why. I know they're 2 totally different people, or 4 different people, but yeah. It's just like, they're like, what, 87-time champions there or something? Like, okay. I don't know.
Something like that at this point. Yeah. Because that product is about as stale can be. Like, somehow the WWE is less stale than New Japan, which is not a statement that you should really ever utter.
Yeah. Yeah, it's way too many titles. But yeah, but on the AEW front, like that's a little storyline. Like, everything's dragging out. And I think, like, we dragged it out because we started talking about something different because there's such a lack of, like, of cohesive storytelling. Like, they started something with this Lee Johnson guy. Okay, cool. Well, you're starting a story with another guy? You've got so many people. Like, where the hell was the Butcher and Blade, Pac, Rey Fénix? Like, where were all these people this week?
And who else have started? Oh, the Acclaimed has gotten a lot of TV time. Yeah. But what was the young group, the younger smaller tag team that were the brothers, Top Flight? Yeah, like they've kind of been a little MIA. There was no Britt Baker this week, which I mean, I guess you don't need to have everyone on every week, but There's still
being absent. I understand.
Yeah,
because she had the big match last week, and then she's in this title tournament too. So,
that one isn't as big of an oversight. But I'm trying to think of some other people that they've recently introduced that they just kind of dropped them. Like, what's his name? He's kind of the tag team partner with Joey Janela sometimes. Sonny Kiss.
Like, he's been on Dark, but I actually thought of that because there's a guy at the gym here, the other one I'm going to. I looked, and I was like, that ass is confusing me. And I went, oh, okay, it's a dude, never mind. So, hey, dude. Sonny Kiss has got an amazing ass on him. That man has done, wait a minute, whatever he identifies as, has done a lot of squats and made that thing pop. So congratulations to him. So
fair enough. But yeah, and I'm trying to think of some of the other side characters that they've pulled on. Just the fact that the Nightmare family introduced two new people to their family, and I didn't know who some of the people were in the family already, is head scratching. Because was there a caveman looking guy that they added to the group that I saw online this week?
Yeah, Nick kind of cut something.
Yeah, and he used to be in NXT, I think.
Really? Because I was like, how did WWE miss this guy? I actually thought that. So,
yeah, I feel like one of the two guys that they added to the Nightmare family used to be on the NXT roster, I think.
Oh, okay.
Because, all of the retreads from WWE have done so well over there. In general, like, because I'm looking at the other stuff, like, the only other thing that it, to me, was of noteworthy to talk about was Darby Allin being dragged in, quote-unquote, dragged in a body bag by Team Taz. Guys, you're never going to reproduce Big Show casket surfing. Just stop trying.
Yeah, and it was funny because you could tell how safe that was, because that body bag was flat, you know?
Oh.
Like, it didn't bump, it didn't move anything. Like, okay, so there's either wheels, like wide wheels on it, or something to help him, obviously. So.
Yeah, well, that, and they drove away at like 5 miles an hour, so it's like, come on, man.
Yeah, but again, it's like, okay, so they dragged him, so does that mean that match is off because they should be suspended? You know, like Dax and Dash were?
Yeah, there's that aspect. There's the, honestly, like, Team Taz keeps on talking about the disrespect, and it's just like, it's kind of like when Tony Schiavone is out there introducing Sting again for another interview, like, because he had one the week before, and the week before that, and the week before that, and the week before that. It's just like, you're making me sympathize with the bad guy at this point, and that's not good. Like, there's a difference between giving the bad guy enough leverage to bring up basically a false point, and giving them so much leverage that you're like, yeah, the baby faces are just kind of assholes, and so are the announcers for just continually bringing them on for the interview instead of Taz and his people.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of Taz's gimmick too. Complaining they never get airtime compared to everybody else.
Yeah, like, you're feeding into everything. Like, you're not supposed to do that. Like, it's supposed to be like, and not that we really need to get into the discussion about his character, but Sami Zayn on SmackDown, where he's getting all kinds of TV time, he's in matches, he's essentially intentionally costing himself the match because of his documentary, but then it gives him more fuel to complain. Like, it's the complete opposite. Like, everything that Taz is saying is coming true.
Yeah.
It's just like, again, this isn't how you tell a story, people. Like, I don't know what else to say here. Like, this is bad storytelling.
Yeah, their audience seems to love it, and I did enjoy the show, which is always so funny. The matches were good. That main event was fun, dude. Spot where Kenta gets out of the powerbomb and it just runs off the stage and double foot stomps Moxley through the table, that was cool as hell.
Well, you mean gently slides him, tries to break his forearm and slides him off the table?
Yeah.
And Kenta almost kills himself in the process. Because Austin Gunn, I think, had the close-up phone video of it. He's like, watch him destroy Moxley. And I'm just like, he just kicked him off the table. Like, the table didn't break. And he almost whacked his own head on the table on the way down. Like, that did not turn out well for him.
No, and it looks like it was one of those Japanese tables. Those real thin ones I always use that never break. I'm like, where the hell do you even get those in the States? Like,
I don't know, because those Japanese tables seem like they're made out of steel.
Yes.
I don't, because you're right, like, 3/4 of the time it's just like, oh, we didn't break it on the first hit, we gotta go back to it, and it's just like, that's not the point here, guys. Like, this is supposed to be a somewhat soft landing, not a excruciatingly painful landing.
Yeah. Was that an ECW event we watched where they kept trying to put someone through a table and it wouldn't break? And Joey Styles goes, that's the world's toughest table?
I think so. Because I think they tried to break it like 3 times, and I think they only ended up breaking a leg or something like that.
Yeah, they just couldn't do it. It was very, very odd. So.
Yeah, everyone needs to go to the door. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, which makes even less sense, but whatever. In a thing where you can get a kendo stick and 47 folding chairs, when anybody knows, like everyone who goes to those events knows, outside of the padded chairs they give you for buying a $600 ticket, the chairs behind you are all bolted together. So.
Oh, yeah. There's no reason to have folding chairs under the table. Unpadded folding chairs.
All the announcers have ergonomic chairs. Maybe the poor bell ringer. But isn't that just a button by now anyways? So.
Well, the WWE does pretend like they have someone there just ringing the bell these days, although it's pretty intentionally just a tech or something like that.
Exactly. So. But no, but it was an excellent night for wrestling on Wednesday.
Well, like, yeah. I think I mentioned it when I was talking about Chris and I having it. Like, as much as I think that the storytelling is garbage in AEW, like, I just always seem to find myself enjoying the show, though. Like, it seems to move. And again, maybe it's just that 2-hour format just works better. Because even SmackDown is way more enjoyable than Raw is just
awful.
Awful.
It is a truly terrible show. And there's no way around it. I feel bad for the talent. It's just stale. Everything about it's stale.
Yeah.
The setup, the presentation, like that Thunderdome thing only lasted so long before it just became the same old, same old. And with all that talent to get that such subpar stuff out of it, oof.
Yep.
What a nice downer note to end on.
Well, I will talk about, I guess beer is a downer. But my beer of the show, And I can't believe that this is just a stout and not an imperial stout, because from Sideswipe Brewing, I have been pimping the Sideswipe Brewing this week. All day onesie. And it only says chocolate breakfast stout, but it's 9% alcohol, which to me is usually up in the imperial category.
Yeah.
It might actually be a little bit low for an imperial stout, honestly. But I kind of, I've gotten used to coffee through beer, but it's still not always my favorite flavor to have. So breakfast stouts are not always highest on my list. I think that this is fairly tasty, but also I believe I like their hazy IPA quite a bit more that I reviewed on Tuesday's show. So yeah, part of the anniversary case, the first time that I've bought a case of beer during the pandemic. I've usually just bought 4-packs, 6-packs. But to get some specialty beers, I was made to buy a case, and well, it's getting worked through already. So, the all day onesie, I'll try to get the wife usually likes the stouts. I will get her view on it at some point. But, for me, just, a fairly solid, effort, a little too much coffee for my liking.
Anytime coffee's in anything, I just say no. For me, I'm drinking a Red Clay Cider. They are the well, not the only one now, but they are the best cider in this whole section of North Carolina. I will say this section because Urban Orchard in Asheville is fantastic as well. Okay. These guys are our buddies as well. This is the Cranberry Crumble. It's cranberry, vanilla, and cinnamon cider and an apple juice. It tastes like you're drinking candy. And I think, what is this one? Maybe my old man stare. This is 6.5%. And you wouldn't believe how easy these goes down. They're just, I mean, one, they're quality. But then two, they just taste so fucking good that it's made for some long next morning into the next day. So, and if you happen to be in Charlotte, North Carolina, or around, I will say this, on Saturday they are releasing their chocolate covered cherry cordial cider.
Ooh.
Oh dude, I got my mom hooked on these things now. Like they released, they have a crumble series, and they're, all of the crumble series are not rare, but they make a small batch. Once they're gone for a few months at the least. So we always go, I mean, one, they're our friends, so we can always get some if we need some. But we always go the day of when they release. And you were talking about people, like you just bought a case.
Yeah.
Dude, people will leave with cases of these things. Like they sold out oh, God, what was it? The peach crumble.
Oh.
If you like peaches, you're hungover. You're going to be hungover. Because, again, it doesn't taste like alcohol. It's that smooth. It's not a fucking Hornsby's or a Woodchuck or any of that bullshit. This is real cider the way it's supposed to be done. And yes, I know how that sounds. Whatever. But the peach sold out, I think, the same day they released it.
Oh.
Because they don't limit how much you can buy. There are people walking out with like 2 to 3 cases of this stuff each. So we'll be sitting there and we just leave with a 4-pack. Like, God damn, what do you guys like? How much do you drink first off? But so they released a blueberry crumble a few weeks ago. I got two 4-packs of it. One for us. And then we're going to the mountains in a few weeks. My mom texts me and goes, "Hey, did you get me some of that blueberry?" And I went, "I'm sorry, I didn't know I was buying them for you." "Okay, so you got some?" I'm like, I'm sorry, what? What part of this don't you understand? So now I have to divvy up my stuff
Yeah, I mean, I need to do that, but it's far less amusing when you're going, oh, my brother and I have a trading system going on. You know what I mean? It's not the same as saying that mom is begging for the newest newest cider from the local brewery.
Yeah. Well, my mom doesn't like beer, so when she comes in town, we'll go there because she likes wine. It's not close to wine, but it's also not beer. It's not at all.
Oh, right.
So it's she likes it, but then I tell her it's you know it's they have some that are 10 percenters,
Oh yeah.
so you gotta
It's
watch it. So.
it was really tasty. The couple of times I've been down there, I've really liked it, so.
Yeah, I forgot you've been. Yeah, I forgot you were there for the 40th, and then for when you were in town too. That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, no,
Yeah,
I've.
been there a couple times, so yeah, very, very, very good beer.
Yeah,
Or
we were just
cider.
hanging out. Nah, it's the same thing. Well, not really, but yeah, we hang out with them all the time. We were just hanging out last weekend, so it's supposed to rain, and we still have restrictions. And I told them, you better have a table for us because they're not a big place. So. With our social distancing requirements, you know, they had to take tables out in that, so it kind of
Oh,
sucks.
yeah.
So,
That's why I've been doing most of the purchase and take off, especially oh, in these very cold. Well, it's just been very
no
cold in
shit.
February, so.
Yeah, and it's only, well, it's almost halfway through now, so.
Yeah, we're getting there. We'll be around the bend in about a month.
All right. I'm
So
gonna get out of here. I
whatever.
didn't realize what time it was. Holy shit. We've been going for a
Yeah,
while.
it's really
All
late and it's a really long podcast, so I'm gonna post this quite some time later tomorrow.
cool.
But yep, hopefully you know all the socials at this point, grandkids, and this at DeFranco11 at Granny Mays at Stunt Granny. Later.
Later, gang.